Well, turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 10 and 11 this afternoon. And let's look to our God in prayer. Lord, lift up our hearts to behold the glory of Christ this afternoon in His grace. Father, work strongly in our lives so that we would be more in love with the Lord Jesus than anyone else, that His grace and truth would so permeate our hearts that we would be overflowing in love for people around us, to tell them the gospel, to share with them the truth of Your Word, and to make progress in holiness. Bless us, we pray, this afternoon in this study. May the truth of this Your Word penetrate every heart and bring joy and gladness. In Jesus' name, amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, I'll start reading in verse 9. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with chains of gold. We will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. What we've seen in the comparison drawn by the bridegroom king in verse 9 of his beloved being like a filly among Pharaoh's chariots. And the question we must ask ourselves now is if that comparison continues through verses 10 and 11. And I believe the answer to that question is, yes, it could, because the picture being conveyed to our spiritual eyes is one which could apply to a horse or to his beautiful bride. Thomas Robinson, in his commentary, says, ornaments of gold, silver, and jewelry about the face and neck were greatly esteemed in Oriental countries. So Arabs adorned both their horses and their camels as well as their own persons with these ornaments. So really, it does not matter whether we are speaking of the filly, the horse, or whether we are speaking of Christ's bride, the church, which the filly represents. The truth is still the same. Her cheeks are lovely with ornaments, and her neck with chains of gold. And the spiritual truth that is gleaned from this picture is this, that the spiritual beauty of the church, which is seen by God and by spiritually minded men in this life, the life of each and every believer when they look at them, is that which something is placed upon them by God as a gift. It's something that adorns their life. The privileges and the blessings of grace which are given to the believer in Christ adorn their life. They set the Christian life off as being something very beautiful. The bride had thought of herself in former verses as black, but beautiful. And Christ now assures her that she has a beauty which is and which will be accentuated by the ornaments that He gives to her. If the church and every believer in it are pictured by a horse, as we talked about last Sunday, the picture is even more apparent. A horse cannot adorn itself. It must be adorned by its master. But the other truth that is apparent here also is that a bride most certainly can and should adorn herself with her ornaments. And even so, the believer should make every effort to put on Christ and to have His grace be seen adorning their life. So this afternoon I want to bring out both of these truths. First, we want to see how the believer's spiritual cheeks and neck are lovely with ornaments. And then secondly, we want to better understand the meaning of the ornaments, the chains of gold and the studs of silver. Let's pray that God will open our eyes to better see the beauty which adorns every Christian. Verse 11, first of all, how are the cheeks and the neck of the believer made lovely with ornaments? I've reversed these verses in my consideration I want to take verse 11 first before verse 10 because I want to try to show you who makes believers lovely with ornaments in the past and Old Testament times, and who is it that makes believers lovely now with ornaments in the New Testament times. The verse says, "We will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver." There's something a little misleading about some of our New King James translations of the Bible, which I would like to point out and correct. Over verse 11, if you have a New King James, you will see the words which the translators put in, which are not in the original. They are there to try to give you help about who is speaking at any given point in this book. And above verse 11 are the words, "the daughters of Jerusalem." And so you might assume that they are the ones who actually spoke the words of verse 11. But I believe that this is a mistake. And I think that they were assuming, the translators were assuming, that since the word "we" was used in verse 4 twice, and those references there did refer to the daughters of Jerusalem, that of necessity, the word "we" here also refers to the daughters of Jerusalem. But I believe, and many of the commentators that I checked with also believed, that this reference here in verse 11 is a continuation of the speech of the bridegroom rather than the reintroduction of the daughters of Jerusalem at this point. Matthew Henry, Samuel Ainsworth, and John Gill all believe that these words are the words of the bridegroom Christ speaking on behalf of the whole divine Trinity of persons in the Godhead, and this making of, and giving of ornaments was their work alone. So the bridegroom king is speaking in the same way as he did in Genesis 1:26, when in conjunction with the Father, he said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness," plural. Here it is, "We will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver." And so what I'm trying to assert to you this afternoon is all the blessings of salvation come from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit's concurrent work with each other to adorn the believer's life with grace and mercy and peace and the blessings too numerous to count in our salvation. You can see this in Old Testament prophetic language, if you'll turn with me first to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. The ornaments which God gave to the nation of Israel in Old Testament times, they picture well the blessings which God gave to them all through their history, even though they were unfaithful to Him at many points. They were the blessings of the Old Covenant, but still there was a great spiritual glory in them. They were adorned, the Israelites were adorned with blessings of a national grace that was given to them as a people, and some among them also then received the blessings of saving grace as they looked to the promises of God which would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. There was a great love shown to them, even from their beginnings in Abraham's day, all the way to their captivity in Babylon, and even there in their captivity in Babylon, some among them were His elect, and He would save them on the basis of a greater and more sure work of Jesus. But still, I want to say to you before I read you this, that there were some among them who were His elect people, and they would wear those ornaments, the ornaments that are being talked about here, these spiritual ornaments. Ezekiel chapter 16. "Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite." Look at verse 5 now. "No, I pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field, and when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood live, and I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew mature and became beautiful. Your breasts were formed and your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. And when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into covenant with you, and you became mine, said the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments. There it is. Put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil, which was the manna. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty in the time of Saul and David. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I have bestowed on you, says the Lord God. So you see, this is what God did for Old Testament Israel, beginning with Abraham, and God continued these blessings to them all the way down through their history until their captivity and even into their captivity for those who knew him. The ornaments were the ornaments of a wife. He was married to the nation of Israel. He was married to them as a nation. He gave to his bride those ornaments which set them apart as their being distinctively and most particularly his. And he gave them his holy law, his providing for them ordinances of worship, his giving them the pattern for worship in the ark, the tabernacle, the priests, and the ephod. He gave them the manna in the wilderness. And eventually he gave them kings and a temple to worship in. The beauty of the Lord our God was upon them in so many ways. But they were unfaithful to him as a nation. And eventually they put on the ornaments of their idolatry. I want you to turn with me over to Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23 and verse 38. Ezekiel 23 and verse 38. It says, moreover, they have done this to me, speaking of Israel. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and profaned my Sabbaths. For after they had slain their children for their idols on the same day, they came into my sanctuary to profane it. And indeed, thus they have done in the midst of my house. Furthermore, you sent for men to come from afar, to whom a messenger was sent, and there they came, and you washed yourself for them, painted your eyes, and adorned yourself with ornaments. There's our word again. Now I want you to see that the ornaments that are pictured here, they're mentioned here, are tokens of their unfaithfulness to God. The ornaments here were of their trying to please other gods besides their God. And the ornaments of the other passage that I read for you in Ezekiel 16 were tokens of God's faithfulness to them, is showing Israel his great and particular love that he had for his people. And you can see from the two passages that I just read to you that even though God was faithful to many of them, faithful to them, all of them as a nation, that many of them were not faithful to him. And something more was needed. Some greater grace was needed. And that was the grace of the new covenant. And we need to see that. So let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. Verse 1. For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be called forsaken, termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, my delight is in her, and your land Beulah, which means married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. So shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Now this is what we're talking about here in Song of Solomon. Christ's church and all believers in it becoming a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. And becoming a royal diadem, as is said here. These are ornaments of blessing, which the Lord gives to His people when the blessings of the new covenant in Jesus Christ come to them. Now they shall be married to Christ. Turn over a page or so to Isaiah 61, and you will see this if you look at verse 10. In verse 10 we find the prophet Isaiah rejoicing on behalf of all believers for what God has done for his soul. I will rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So you can see here that the ornaments of the new covenant are mentioned here, and there's a bride who's adorning herself with her jewels. The ornaments of the new covenant spiritual marriage being our justification in Jesus Christ, our being sanctified also by His grace to love God and to keep His commandments. But they're also the kind of blessings by which God most surely and definitely secures our salvation so that we can wear our blessings like ornaments. Now this is the thing that it brings us to in the text. The blessings of the new covenant far exceed that of the old covenant in their quality and in their extent, not only to Gentiles in New Testament times, but also to the Jews in the latter day of this present age. I want you to turn back about a page or so again to Isaiah 60, verse 15, and you'll see this. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 15, whereas you have been forsaken and hated so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. You see just how far the blessings of the old covenant will be far outstripped in New Testament times, especially when the Jews will come to be converted to Jesus Christ and brought into the church of the Gentiles. Bronze is a lesser quality metal than the gold which will replace it. And iron, in the place of stones, will be a better framework so that what is built will not crack or crumble. So are the blessings of the new covenant greater than those of the old. Just as those elements are different, one more precious, one more solid and enduring than the other. They give the believer the most precious ornaments, new covenant blessings, which they can wear upon their soul as they walk with their King, as they serve Him and worship Him before a watching world. But take care, all you who believe who are Christians, that you do wear your ornaments, that you don't substitute the ornaments of this world and materialism for the spiritual blessings which ornament your soul. Now sometimes this happens. Believers forget that they have been adorned with these graces, that they are to show them forth. They are to be set off by these graces. They are to be distinguished by them. They are to be looked upon by the world as being distinctively different because of the ornaments, the spiritual ornaments that they wear. And that leads me to the second point of this afternoon's message. We want to understand better the meaning of the ornaments, the chains of gold and the studs of silver, verse 10. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with chains of gold. I want you to turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's what it says there. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Sounds like this morning's sermon, doesn't it? And do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So you see, we see better now when we read these words what this passage of Song of Solomon is commending. It's commending the grace of God at work in the heart of one who will honor and obey his parents by listening to the good instructions on how they can fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says in verse 7, and this leads to humble submission to parental authority and instruction. It's the heeding of their instruction that will become an ornament to the life of any young person as they come into adulthood, believing in Jesus. Heeding these instructions will set you apart in the mind of God and in the eyes of men. And it will be your evident humility and your obedience to wear this instruction as ornaments that will set you apart. That will set off your spiritual cheeks and your neck, the neck of those who wear them. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. And you'll see another instance of this. These ornaments in the life of a wife. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word. They without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. That means godly fear. Do not let your adornment merely be outward, the arranging of the hair, the wearing of gold, putting on of fine apparel. Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner in former times, watch this, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. It's the words, do not let your adornment be outward, that I want you to focus on. It's also the words, they adorned themselves, that I want you to think about. There is an adornment of the heart and the spirit which comes through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which leads to true humility and true submission in a marriage. The cheeks of the believing wife don't need to be flushed with pride or anger or frustration at her husband's disobedience to the word. It says here that he can be won even without a word when you, as his wife, have a meek and quiet spirit, which is a precious ornament which Christ gives to those who are spiritually married to him, to be humble and submissive to their husbands, to do good and not to be afraid. There are chains of gold which bind two hearts together in marital love, which only God can see. But their strength is very great and they have an incorruptible beauty which He alone can give. In the King James, verse 10 reads this way, "Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold." So the rows of jewels which are being spoken of are the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in the life of the believer. They are chains of gold. They are rows of jewels given to the believer to wear on their spiritual cheeks. The cheeks are the most obvious part of the face. And here I think they spiritually represent the believer's attitudes in reaction to the things which may embarrass them or frustrate them, things that might be difficult or displeasing to them as they attempt to run the race of the Christian life. And unless I am mistaken, the neck represents the faith of the believer. That which joins the head to the body, that which links it together is faith. Our faith is that which links us to Christ, to our head. And the cheeks and neck of the believer are lovely when they're ornamented with these chains. The chains of gold, I believe, are the fruit of the Spirit. When you see love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control being evidenced in the attitudes and speech and actions of a Christian, you realize that all of these graces are linked together and they build off of one another. Where there is love, there will also be patience. Where there is joy, there will also be peace. Where there is gentleness, there will be goodness. Where there is kindness, there will be faithfulness and self-control. And these each one have their particular definition, but they are all linked together in rows, and like chains, they hold together. And all these are evidenced in the way that we speak with one another and act toward one another. So in closing this sermon, let me ask you whether your spiritual cheeks have the ornaments of Christ's grace, the chains of gold, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit being evidenced upon them. Is your faith in Christ strong enough that you will be unashamedly speaking of Him in the days to come? And the work that you want to do for Him, will you not hold up your head, that is Christ Himself, hold Him up with evident joy in all that He's done for you, all that He is doing for you, and what He will do for you, to trust Him for that? You see, He's the only one who can give you righteousness, which God is satisfied with. He is the only one who can make you holy. He is the only one who can make you strong to do God's will and to love and give yourself for people around you. So I'm asking you to wear these ornaments that have been given to you, the graces of Christ that are found in the fruit of the Spirit. Put them on. Clothe yourself with Christ. Put your ornaments on and let them be seen by other people around you, not for to draw attention to yourself, but to draw attention to the one who gave them to you, to the Son of God, your Savior, your husband, and your friend. Wear them proudly. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this study, this short study in the Scriptures of Your giving ornaments to each believer. We pray that we would wear them proudly, that we would be able to show the grace that You have given to us in such a way that it would draw attention to You, our great King, as the one who gave them to us. We thank You, Father, for giving us these ornaments and all the grace that You have given to us that saved our souls and enlivens our hearts and causes us to go and be changed from one degree of glory to another, even by Your Spirit. May we not take these blessings for granted, but may we seek You for them, and may we show them forth. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in closing, let's sing hymn number 542 together, "Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee."